Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. I needed something to get going, so that was a nice booster shot. I'm addicted to this thing, you know. I came to get my shot. What about you? Yeah, I'm addicted to church. Sorry. I'm addicted. I need my shot today, the shot of the Holy Ghost. Not that I don't have it, I just need more. More him and less of me. Yeah? And that's what you are here for? Amen. So we continue praying for Brother Doug and Jennifer. I hope they're having a great time. Yeah, let me get this. This is hot here. And this is not a winter coat. I mean a summer coat. This kind of heavy coat. Anyway. So continue praying for them and those that are not here. Continue praying for those that are still sick on vacations. Vacation should be over by now anyway. Oh, I guess not. Huh? Your guess is good as mine, you know. Anyway, I'm on vacation every day, so. When you retire, you're on vacation every day. Now ask my wife. She's tired of me to be on vacation every day. Amen. So, tonight it's a pleasure to be back. It's an honor to be back, and I'm looking forward always to what God has to say to us. The title of my sermon tonight is The Mark. Not Mark, The Mark. Kind of an odd, you know, title. But I'm an odd guy, so what do you expect from me? So let's read from Genesis. We're going to read one verse because as you sit down, I'm going to read some more. So Genesis 4:15. And the Lord said unto him, to Cain, therefore whosoever slay Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. I was wondering about that mark. Have you wondered about what that mark was? Well, if you have a Bible question, we should have a Bible answer, right? But let's go and dig out. Let's go and dig it out of there then. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We appreciate you, Father, the way you care for me, for us, the way you love me, the way you bless me, the way you treat me, Father. You are such a good God, Father. Now I need some strength, Father, energy. Father, I set myself aside. Take over, Lord. I speak to your people. They are your precious blood, Father. And I know that you have something for them tonight, Father. Father, you put something in my heart. So I will deliver my heart, Father, but I need your help, Father. I need your anointing, Father, not only in the pulpit, but in every seat in this house, Father, and those that are listening as well, Father. We love you and we thank you. Make you receive all the glory and the honor that you deserve from everything that we do. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Let me also read from Revelation 13. And you know that Revelation 13 is America. The prophet said it was, right? So I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he has two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So we were told that the image of the beast is the council churches, right? No mystery no longer. There is nothing mysterious no longer. Everything has been, you know, right, open up. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And the lamb here that spake like a dragon with two horns, that's two powers. Ecclesiastic power and government power, you know, together like happened with Constantine. You know, they came, the state came together with religion and formed an alliance. And that's the power that we're going to see today. When? We're close to that. You know, and the power, it says, many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. It is kind of serious, huh? It's not a subject of Wednesday, but it says, can not worship the beast, and the image of the beast, then people will die just for that, for refusing to do that. And you know why they refuse to die? Now we are dying to the world and the things of the world. Because they didn't die when they're supposed to die. Now they have to give their life, just like you and I will be giving our life. This life don't mean nothing to me. This gotta die. So I'm dying, I'm killing mine now. But some people will not. They're gonna have to go through the tribulation, and they're gonna have to give their life. Amen. And he calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark, and in their right hand or in the right forehead. I'm not here to tell you how many educated guests are out there. It's a bunch of them. You know, barcoding, injecting a chip on the knee. You know, if you want to listen and all that, that's fine. But let's see what this message said. Let's see what the Bible says. Amen. That is good, but that is just man imagination. Hey, they might have a mark at the end, those that are, you know, part of the program of the beast, the image. They might wear some kind of ID. You cannot go to work unless you have a car, an ID, and you scan and you go through the gate. Well, they're going to have some kind of mark. But I don't know yet if this mark is a physical mark or it is a spiritual thing. So I got questions, so let's see if we can find out what it is. As many as I would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he calls here, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive a mark in the right hand and in the forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark. See, or the name of the beast, or the name of his name, his wisdom. Let him that had understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. And his number is 666. And I'm not going to go into all the things that we don't know, really. So this is what Brother Brown says. Simple. Satan's sons will be sealed in the last days. Period. Okay? There is a time now. Now is the last days. That the Bible spoke of that all that did not have the seal of God. Okay, now we have two marks, two seals. The seal of God, the seal of the beast. So either one or the other one. So the last day people will have a mark. The difference is it will be the seal of God or the mark of the beast. There's no other choice. It's just black and white. And we know that the mark of the beast is 666-111-333-4911. I don't know. What is it? Disbelief. Now, how hard was that? Disbelief. The first time we were, you saying the mark of the beast begin. Well, I just read to you. It says, in the Garden of Eden. Mark of the beast and the seal of God was performed in the Garden of Eden. We got Abel and we got Cain. One was the mark of the beast and one was the mark of God, the seal of God. Exactly, it is, see, in the Garden of Eden, the mark of the beast and the seal of God was performed in the Garden of Eden. Exactly, it is performed through the Easter for the dead. You know, probably this was Easter or something, or close to Easter. For the dead of Abel brought Seth for, that's right. Now he's talking about that Cain killed Abel and God replaced that seed with another seed, and that's the resurrection. That's what he's talking about, because the same happened to Jesus. Judas turned, not directly killed him, but he turned him to death, but he was replaced. Right. Replaced with you and me. So now the devil has more problems than he that was just one guy. Now he has problems with the bride. And you don't want to mess with a woman forget it. You know, sadly, it is performed through Easter. And that's what we celebrate in Easter, you know. Death and resurrection. And that's what he was talking about. Now, so this is what I'm stating tonight. This is what I propose to bring to you tonight. That there is only going to be two classes of people in the last days. But both of them is going to wear a mark. And the mark that I'm talking about is not a visible mark. Even though it could be mark. Visible, a tattoo, I don't know. A scar, something, a writing, I don't know. But the thing is that that mark will show itself. It will manifest itself in the life of people. Amen? Now, Genesis 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and he conceived and bare Cain. And he said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Well, life comes from God anyway. But this is not the seed that was promised to come. Because if he was, he would have said, he appointed me another seed. Like he did when Abel, when Seth was born. He said, I have a man from the Lord. So she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was keeping of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought off the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought off the first, of this flock, and of the fat of thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering. But Cain, and to his offering, he had what? No respect. And Cain was very what? Angry. Wrath. You could have seen his face, We're going to go into why he was that way. His countenance fell. So, now let's go to Peter in case we can explain this thing. Peter says, and if you call on the Father who without respect, see, without prejudice, without discrimination, he don't care who you are. He don't care if you are a sinner, or you save, or you a message, or you go to a denomination, he don't look at that. What he says there, he has no respect of what? Of who you are. He says, of a person, judgment according to every man's what? Work. So when God judges you, he to see your work. What kind of work you have? Now what kind of work Cain brought? The work of what? His hands. So God rejected it because that's not what he was looking for. But Abel brought what kind of a work? He had a revelation what God wanted, and he gave the work what God desired. So he was accepted, and Cain was rejected. Okay, so it says, pastime of your sojourning here in fear. So what he's saying is be careful, Be careful what we do. Because if God don't respect any person, God is just looking at what kind of works you are producing. If he don't align with the word of God, fear God. But if he align with the word of God, he will accept you. See? So we got to see now that this mark we have two kind of works. The seal of God will bring certain work, and the mark of the beast will bring a different work. Intellectual work. No revelation in it. Educated work. Now this is what Brother Brown says. Because I want to get into something here. Because sometimes we condemn Cain. And he's the son of the Satan. And blah, blah, blah. And we don't want to have nothing to do with that. God is not that way. And if God will show you that God is not that way, that his love and kindness goes after that man. Right. And that has you, so you and I can learn a lesson. Right. When you say love your brother and love those that curse you, love those that take advantage of you and say matter of things. Okay? I pay this real attention. God understands one thing, and that is the blood. That's all. That's all he understands. He knows the blood. And I'm glad we're under the blood. And we can come because that blood is what protects us. Like Brother Brown says, it's a bumper. So it doesn't matter what we do. It's a bumper that we can always have repent. But that's only what God is looking at. Not at what you're doing, at your mistake. He's not following you, trying to figure out what you do, spying you to make sure you make a mistake so he can walk you. No. It's the blood in between. And that's what he's looking at. Start learning, because that's what you need to look at when you look at your brother. Will you look at the mistake, or will you look at the blood that's covering him too? Learn, because we're going to learn something. It's raining. Wow. It rained by my house. Buckets. Dogs and cat. I already got two dogs. I didn't need none of those. But anyway. So it was about 6 o'clock. It started raining real hard. And I said, man, I'm about stepping out of the door to get in the car to come to church. And I had to back up. Oh, it was windy and it was, man, hard. I didn't want to get wet. And so I waited about 10, 15 minutes. Then it kind of subdued and ran to the car. Anyway, I'm here. He says, understand, know that blood. He knows no color lines. I don't care, you're black, white, brown. It has nothing to do with anything. Amen. So take that out of your mind too. I don't think we don't have problem with those things. You know? But being tall and short, sometimes we get kind of, okay. That don't matter to God. And it should not matter to us. See, he knows no race line. Whatever the man is, black, blue, white, brown, whatever color he is, God knowing nothing about that. He likes to look at them the way they are. So if you're looking at a person out there, believe it or not, I don't know, whatever he's doing, when you look at a person, you're not looking to judge him to see what bad he's doing. Do you like God to do that with you? You want to know what you can do to that man to be safe and be under the blood. Because that is what God is going to do. Watch it. He said, God knows nothing about that. He likes to look at them the way they are. When you look at me, not the way I am. Look at the way he looks at me. Amen. And we do others. Says Ezekiel. And this is the reason God cannot break his word. He says, no soul, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. I don't care what my father did. He pays for that part. That's don't follow me. Now, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. What I did, you know, my father don't have to pay for. He tried to do the best he could to bring me up. Now, my mistakes are my mistakes. His mistakes, his mistakes. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. God cannot break this law. That's his word. So he could not blame Cain for what daddy did. You see where we're going with that? He could not treat him because he was the son of Satan. He knew who he was, but he would not treat him that way. He treated like any other man he would treat. We need to learn. Well, they're not on the message. I'm looking at how they dress. So what? What are you looking? You're not supposed to be looking at that. You should be looking at the person. God saved you. Don't you want somebody else to partake or save? Now John says, 5:24, verily, verily, I said unto you, he that hear my word and believe on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but passes from death to life, right? We heard that so many times. Hold on, that I touched this too many times and it goes too fast. Okay. Okay. So Ezekiel, I read Ezekiel 20, then John 5:4, it says, like I read, that I hear my word and believe on him that sent me has everlasting life. Now this is Jesus talking. It had nothing to do with you. It had to do with, did you believe or not? Remember what is the mark of the beast? If you believe or not, if you not reject the word of God, it doesn't matter who you are. See? You will have everlasting life. I am glad that for whatever reason, and I'm, I'm glad that I could respond to the word. There was something in me that could respond to the word. But there's some people that had nothing to respond, and God don't condemn them for that. He didn't condemn Cain. He wanted Cain to repent. We're going to leave it there. And he wouldn't accept them. What happened to Judas? Judas, he would have repented. God would have accepted him. But it wasn't God's problem. It was his problem. Amen. That spirit got a hold to him. You know? So, hear my word and believe in my word. So, everything had to do with believing. Either we believe the word or we reject the word. That's it. Depending what mark you have, you will show some signs. Now, John 5:47. But if you believe not in his writing, you know, the Bible is our writing. How shall you believe my word? Jesus said, if you cannot believe the word, believe my works, right? But if they cannot believe the word, the writing, how would you believe in him? That's why they couldn't. But the word testified who he was. That's why God was so interested in the word. The word will testify who you are. What mark do you have? Who do you serve? Amen. Works. From God or from something else? From our knowledge, our intellectual. So he says, if you cannot believe the word, Jesus says, then how can you? If you don't believe the writing, here's the Bible, and I quote you the Bible, and you don't believe the words, then why? Now, I'm not talking, well, let's give him the word test. This is not what I'm talking about. Some people do that. You know, so it's not that they don't believe the word, it's just the approach that we go. It's not in love. We just want to prove something that you're wrong. That's all, and I'm right. That's not the way this thing works. I'm going to show you that God's heart went out for Cain. Now, John 12:47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. No. So here we are. You're doing bad. You're doing all these things, you know. And you don't believe my word, but I'm not judging you. You're going to see that God was not judging Cain to begin with for who he was. And he don't judge you when you was a day in the world for who you was. But you know what is going to judge you? I came to judge the world, but not to say to the world. I didn't come to judge. So we are not here to judge. What are we supposed to be doing? Saving the world, right? You guys are too serious of me. I mean, this is just really, I'm just reading the scriptures. I'm not putting no interpretation. I'm just telling you what the word says. So don't look like a Listen, any man that hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world. And God chose you and filled you for you to go and judge the world and everybody else. No, to save the world. And this is the word of God. God wanted to save Cain, regardless what anybody says. That's the love of God. We need to understand the love of God if we are going to follow that spirit. Genesis 4:6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? You know, sometimes Christians come to church that way, like they're mad at you or something, at the preacher. Where's your joy? Where's your happiness? You know. So he was angry, he says. And he says, 7, if thou doest well, okay, shalt thou not be accepted? So aquí the point is, he wanted to be accepted. You know, people there go to church. Do you think they go to church because they want to be mean and they want to disbelieve God? They go into church because they want to be accepted. That's all. Just like you. The only thing that you got accepted in the beloved. See? So praise God, you know, that you was one of them. But what about those poor guys? They're looking. They're trying to find because they want to be accepted again. If thou not well, sin is right at the door. And what is sin? Here we go again. Disbelief. That's the mark. Okay? Now, it says, and unto thee shall be his desire. So, that's easy. And thou shalt rule, and thou shalt rule over him. Sin will. So, is it the God, or is it the disbelief? And if it's disbelief, that's the spirit anyway. It will rule over you. Whatever spirit of disbelief we have. It takes all kind of shape and form. So here we got, I want you to go to Jubilee year. I don't know if that's what I got there, that's all right. Just follow me because sometimes I lose my places even when I'm writing. The mark of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you nothing new. Without a shadow of a doubt, I preach that not too long ago, right there, by the Holy Spirit, I helped, and the Word of God proved it. The seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians says, give not the Holy Spirit where you are sealed until the day of your what? Of your redemption. Without the Holy Spirit, you are not sealed. But the Holy Spirit is God's seal. Okay. And then that all that was not sealed by the Holy Spirit, we took the mark of the what? The beast. And that's disbelief. And the mark of the beast is the mark of apostasy. You know what apostasy is? That willfully turning away from the Word of God. Willfully. God will not push you. Nobody make you. You have a choice. We have a choice. God is not pressuring, and nobody, not even Satan, is a choice. God did not take our choices away. We got the right to make a choice. And God gave us that, and he will not take it away. He says, and apostasy, which is rejecting the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you see how important it is to have the Holy Spirit? Some of you, okay. Three of you have the Holy Spirit. Okay, thank you. My brother Doug says. I mean, sometimes we take things so lightly. But without the Holy Spirit, you know, we got the mark of the beast. Timothy says, for now the Spirit speaks personally that in the latter time, late this time, shall people depart from what? From their faith. That's apostasy. See? People are just looking and going from church to church. They don't know what they're looking for. Because if they have the Holy Ghost, they will not depart from the faith, right? Because the faith is that. Giving head to seducing the spirit, see? Now we got another spirit there that is not the Spirit of God. So if it's not, well, Brother Doug already preached about this and told us I'm not going to much into it. The doctrine of devils, speaking lies, hypocrisy, that was the devil at the beginning, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe, and now the truth. People that will renounce, reject, forsake, abandon God, or the word, will take the mark. And that's what happened to Cain at the prayer beginning. He was not accepted because his works were not what God was requiring. So let's stop trying to figure out what God wants. What God wants is you. Full with the Spirit. And he takes care of the works. But we surrender to him. But without the Holy Ghost, they are wandering out there. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. And the only light left in this world is you and me. And we're supposed to light the way to those that are lost in darkness. Okay? Acceptance. Okay. Acceptance means to acknowledge something, to admit, to confess something. This reflects God's willingness to accept people to turn from sin. See? Because when you turn from sin, you accept what the word says. You're willing to accept, to acknowledge God, you are right. The word, you are right. I repent. See, but Cain didn't do that. God gave him a chance, an opportunity to repent. And then he said, I will accept you. Now in Revelation, it says, remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen and repent. See, God don't want people to go to hell. But he wants them to repent. Because if they can repent and say, okay, I was wrong. I didn't mean to do it. Oh, this is all I knew. People go to the Catholic Church. That's all they know. And do the first works. Or else he is talking about you departed. You left the faith. You left the first works. Go back to what you had. Or else I will come and deal quickly and I will remove the candlestick out of his place except you repent. So he gave Cain a chance to repent. God is not a God that is mad at anybody. He gave him a chance to repent. Ephesians 2 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, he had made us accepted in the beloved. Amen? It's only the blood. And that's what Cain rejected. If you do that, what your brother just done, that's what I require, is blood. Because it was a blood thing in the beginning. But the Bible says here in the true and false witness, Cain was a believer and acknowledged the Creator. Now, that's put this Cain in a different perspective, right? You think he got up one morning and said, I'm going to go against God. He says, Cain was a believer and acknowledged the Creator. Not only that, but he was a worshiper. Now, I suppose that the east side of the Garden of Eden, where the garden lay in the east of Eden, perhaps they were the great sword and the angel was flipping back and forward, the lightning and guardian, that tree. Cain and Abel out there working in the field. Now they are outside the garden because they were born out. Working in the field, realized that they came from that lovely home. And that's exciting. Well, those guys don't belong there. How do you know that? They were there to begin with. They heard, well, they were not there, but they heard mom and dad about how beautiful the place was, how God used to come down. They wanted to get back their way. Cain and Abel wanted to be accepted so they can go back to that life. Those people are there, you think they want the life they're living? They don't have no choice. And if we don't tell them that it's a better life, you know, how are they going to know? Thundering. I feel like Moses in there. In the mountain. Don't get scared now. Don't just... No, anyway, forget it. And it says, perhaps we're a great story with lightning, see, the lightning and the guardians there and the tree. Cain and Abel was working in the field. They wanted to try to worship God, see. They wanted to get back to that lovely home. They was trying to worship God, and Cain built himself an altar or a church. Abel built him one. Cain made a sacrifice. Abel made one. Cain knelt in worship. Abel did the same thing. Now, if God only required faith in God and confession, you know, well, I accepted Christ, you know, and he forgave me, and I'm safe, and I go to church, and if that's all it is, then he would have accepted him. But he says, or a church membership, a sacrifice, or membership and loyalty to the church, part of your money, your time of your worship and sincerity is of what you believe, then God, being just, would have to accept Cain. So it's a lot of people that say, well, I believe in God and I am saved, but their works do not match the Bible because they always, their works reject what the true word of God is saying, but they don't know that because they are blind. How can they see? It says, now Jesus, in The next one, glorify Jesus. Now, Cain, I don't believe that Cain willfully walked out of there and got the fruits of the field, works of his hand, and brought it to over. So you think all these people that go in the denomination, they just willfully get up in the morning and say, I'm going to reject this message that I heard and I'm going to. What do they know? They oblivious of what this message is all about. You do, but they don't. It says, he did not willfully got up that morning and said, I'm going to sin against God. It says, he just absolutely wanted to do it to be, he absolutely didn't want to do it to be a smart aleck. I believe Cain came with a full heart, thinking he was doing the right thing. Right. These people are there, they think they're doing the right thing. Giving credit, at least for that much. We know it's not. But they don't know any better. Why was he trying to find favor with God? He was trying to find life again. And the life was the tree of life in the garden that was blocked now. They could not get to it. But they heard about that tree of life. And they heard from mama and daddy. And they were so lovely at the way they put it. That they didn't want to be working in the field and sweat and everything. And they wanted to get back to that place. And that's what I want too. We're here because we want to get back to a lovely place. He was trying to get back to the Garden of Eden again. See? So Cain and Eva was trying to worship God. That God will accept them so they can, God can say, okay, I forgive you guys. I take you back. But it didn't work that way. Anyway, that was his thought. Both of them thought. Even the good one and the bad one. They wanted to be in the place where there was life. Out there, this is all death. Chaos. Who wants to be here? See? So I don't blame them. So, what happened was, here, I heard this in the, I read that one already. See, that they got evicted from home. See? So, Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve got evicted from their home. But they wanted to get back home. But they couldn't. Because they got thrown out of their home. By who? Well, by Satan. His squad, I know it was God that put him out. But who was squatting in their places now? Do you know, I heard something in the news the other day. Well, yesterday. That there's a scheme going around there. That you, if you leave on vacation and you leave your house for a month, 2-3 weeks. And you come back. And when you try to get in your house, the lock has been changed. And now you have a squad that's living in your house. And now you cannot even get him out. There was a news. I don't know if it was this state, whatever the state was. What happened is, they leave and they make, and they figure, you know, this house is mine. And they will claim the house. And they will change all the lock. So then the lady called the police. Because she wanted them out. And she got in there and they opened the door and she's screaming and how, get out of my house and blah, blah, blah. And sooner or later, you know what they done? They took her to jail. Because the guy that was living there and renting the room to other, you know, squatters, he said, this is my house, my property. I got some paper here to produce that. I mean, I don't know how he got the paper. So they took her to jail. She wanted to jump on those guys and kick them out of the house. So, the judge told her, the only way you can do that, the law don't work for you. I don't know why they had to change it, but he says, what you have to do, you need to now evict them from your own house. So now you have to go through the process, you know, and show them that you get your bill that you pay is in your name, the taxes that you pay in that province, because when you're there, you couldn't get anything. They just took over your house. And you cannot prove that it was your house, or they throw you out. So finally, by the time you get the paperwork, and by the time you go to the judge, by the time you waste all this time, but to prove that that is my house, and then that's not it. You get an eviction notice from the police. Now that takes time. I don't know how long. I've never been in that situation. Then you can get the police to go around and do what?
a victim. Then when you get into your house, it's all tore up. It's not the house that you left. And it's a scheme that is going on now. And the Lord cannot help you much, because they cannot go in and throw anybody out. See, just because you said that is in my house. So this is what Satan did. He squatted in your house, you know, and they evict you. And that's why he's squatting in our place, in heavenly places. But we got an eviction notice. We're ready to go, and we are going to get him out of that place, because that is my home and I belong there. He changed all the locks. I don't care. But I got a way to get back in my home and claim it that is my home. Satan is going to go down, and we're going to go up. That's my place. This is your house, and you need to claim this piece of dirt too. This is here. It's your house. And Satan wants to squat in this house too. But you got to tell him, you know, it's my house. Here's my claim. It's all being taken over. There's no more deed, nothing holding anything. It's being cleaned now after 7-8 churches, that you have a free claim. That you can say, Satan, out. This is my house. You don't belong here. This house belongs to the Lord. See? And you're squatting in here, and you're squatting in there, and we are going to get you down and out. So that's what happened in the beginning. You know? Satan is squatted in the wrong place, and they evicted the right family. But now, redemption is to get what? To clear and all the claim that it was to serve, and then get back to my home. I got a clean deed right now. Free. I can show anybody that is my home. Ezekiel 18:20. No, I already read you this one. Romans 8:20-21. It says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subject to the same to hope. Because the creature himself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What it means that the creature was subject to vanity is that mean that you did not sign to do, you know. In heaven, you didn't follow Satan to begin with. Now, it was to turn heaven that follow Satan. But you didn't there, and you're not going to do it here neither. But you didn't volunteer to come in this earth and in this flesh. It's a plan of God. Sorry. So it was not willingly. Do I have to go, Lord? Do I have to be born that way and go into this body and to this house? Do I have to do that? I didn't volunteer for this. Just like you didn't volunteer to be born. Did you have a say-so that you wanted to be born, and who parents you wanted to choose? No. It wasn't willingly. So, because the creature himself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious. So I'm glad that we are going to be delivered. See? This is, he put us in this situation. He put us in this earth, but not without hope. We got hope that one of these days we get back where we belong. Amen? He says, willingly, but not reason of him who has subject the same thing. So, you know, I believe that Cain was trying to blame God. I mean, that's what Adam and Eve, they passed the buck. But it wasn't me, it was their wife. They were, no, it wasn't me, it was the... And Cain was trying to say, hey, I had nothing to do in this. I'm not the one that created all the mess. Now I'm down here out of the thing. So, you know, he tried to say, but God, I think this was your fault. Like Adam was saying, but you're the one that gave me the wife. The thing is that Cain was trying to reason out, you know, why? Why did you not accept me? This is not my fault. It wasn't your fault, and it wasn't your fault neither that we are here going through all this. But the brother says it was Adam that made the whole entire thing to fall. Condemnation by representation. That's what Brother Brown says. You know? Cain talked to Abel, Genesis 4, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, Cain rose again, Abel, his brother, and slew him. And he was so upset. You accepted him, what about me? I mean, I did what I knew what to do. Now, will God so unjust that you don't have a desire or someone don't have a desire to serve him, and God is going to say, well, that's not my fault. But if you don't put nothing in me to respond to a calling, no, you're going to blame me? Cain was trying to make, he was angry anyway. He said, this is not my fault. But he says, God was just. He said, and the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I know not. I am not my brother's keeper. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of your brother cries out. I'm going to continue. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened the mouth, receive thy brother's blood by thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, and it shall not henceforth yield any of this strength, fugitive, vagabond shall to be. Poor guy. He says, you know what? You're going to be in and out, going here, going there. You just don't know which way you're going to go. You don't know who your father was. You don't know what your mother was. You don't know who you are. He says. And the king said to the Lord, that punishment is too great. That means I cannot. That's it. No hope for him. Too great. Behold, how thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be fugitive and vagabond and in the earth, and shall come to pass that every one that find me shall slay me. And then he put a marker. We read this one. And therefore, so when you slay your vengeance, will put a mark upon Cain. This is what Brother Branham says. Then you said, I had that kind of experience, and I got the spirit on me. And if it is denies the word in any way, you got the wrong spirit. Because that's what happened to Cain. You got the wrong. You say, I can not go for this stuff like this. I know, but our church, oh, this wrong spirit, this your mark of identification. Cain, you are mark. Denying the word of God, rejecting the word of God, disbelieving the word of God, is the wrong mark. Amen. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end, therefore, is the way of death. Cain thought that was the right way to go. Intellectually, he had no revelation. But he thought that's the way. And Cain, Genesis 16, and Cain went out of the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east. And Cain now knew his wife and conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his first son, Enoch. Brother Brown says, the mark of the beast, a wanderer, a fugitive, don't know where he's going, don't know where he is, what he knows, don't know what he does, what he's a fugitive. I mean, you see the condition of the people. It is not that they don't want to serve the Lord. It is not that they don't want to believe for you. They just can't. And they continue going through and fro, trying to figure this out from church to church. And I mean, it's all kind of thing out there. And the devil, what makes it worse? Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. No revelation. Brother Brown says, did you know I made a remark last night? I felt and swept over the audience. It kind of had a funny feeling when it returned. But when I said education has been the mark of the Antichrist all through the ages, education is the worst enemy of the gospel ever had. Listen, I am off the subject, but I just a moment. Let's just take the lineage here. There was Cain and Seth. Abel was killed, and Cain was brought into his place. Death, resurrection of Christ. And Cain's children were all smart, intelligent scientists, you know, educated. Now, don't go around saying that if you're smart, you belong to. You know, this is not what he's saying. Because you're intelligent. I mean, I know people that are smarter than me, more intelligent than me, and they're scientists. It's just trying to find God through that. You know, God find through your intellect, through education. See? To your intellectual. All down through the days of Noah. And says children are humble. Now, you could be educated. You could be a scientist. You could be intelligent. You could be smart. But if you can humble yourself, the problem is you can't. See, it's a form of a race, peasants of all the way through, and it's always been that way. Now, Hebrews 10:26 says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sin. Willfully, willingly, he's saying. Now, this is what Brother Brown said. Now, we find out that this was a mark, it's a distinction. It makes a difference. It separates you from something, the mark. But like you said, you got one mark against you, a mark, but you never said you have a seal against you. He says, and the church is sealed by the Holy Ghost, he says, showing ownership. God owns the church, but the mark of the beast is the way where the outcast refuse to take and come God's provided way. Cain, as soon as he was marked, was sent away. We get that. Abel died and Seth rise to take his place. What sign of resurrection? That's the sign of resurrection. Amen. I know I have a lot of scriptures, but Revelation, unto the angel of the church of the Laodicea and write, this thing said, amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. It comes down to works. I don't care what you look, how rich you are, it has nothing to do with your works. What kind of works do we have? It says, I know thy works. It makes a difference. Okay? Your works better match your experience. If not, I'll be worried about it. He said, and thou angel of the church, thou said these things. He says, I know thy work, he says, that thou art neither cold or hot. See, I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou said, I am rich and increasing good, and have need of nothing. I know that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. I counsel thee to buy gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and with raiments, that thou may be clothed. Clothed, he says, and that same rich, that thou be clothed, and that the same of thy, the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. As many as I love. And so far, God loves everybody. Because if they wasn't right, Jesus in the cross wouldn't say, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. That is the love of God. That is his divine love, his mercy and grace. He don't want to reject anybody. Amen. He's not in the business of rejecting. He's in the business of saving. But the works we prove, the works, you know, that we do. We are the one, you know, the human being is the one that make the choice. Mm-hmm. Make the choice. He says, to him that overcome, I will grant it to sit with me in my throne. What you need to overcome? Disbelief. That's all. And that's a hard item these days. Because Satan is trying to make sure that you disbelieve just about everything. That you don't believe anything. But I'm glad that we don't believe by looking with our eyes or by feelings or by senses. We believe because God will you know, lead us, show us, and tell us the things that are to come through the Holy Ghost. If we don't have the Holy Ghost, how are we going to know what's right and what's wrong? But that's what the Holy Ghost in our lives do. It keeps us straight. Amen. We can discern right and wrong. To overcome will grant the city mean in my throne, even I also overcame and sat on the throne of the Father, his throne. He had that ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord said. Now, Brother Brown said in Jubilee, the mark of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Without shadow of doubt, I preached not too long ago. See? And it's proven. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then I read you this before, but I want you to repeat it again. See? But the Holy Ghost Spirit is God's seal. And then, that all that was not sealed with that Spirit, it will take the mark. And the mark of the beast is apostasy. That means rejecting his word, rejecting the Holy Ghost, rejecting this message. This is the message that has come, faith. This is the light. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think these people know this message? No. I mean, for them, it's just like, oh, you're following a man. Oh, I don't know about that. You know, because that's what they teach them. They're scared. I mean, that's Satan tactic, fear. So what are we supposed to do? This is the last thing I'm going to read. You who are standing in the borderline, you who have thought a lot of time, I do like to be a full surrender Christian. If I can just make up my mind when to do it, oh my brother, sister, do you realize that this may be the last opportunity that you ever have to become that? Do you think that you have another chance when you walk out of it? How do you know you're going to make a safe home? So what is the point here? Do we have the Holy Ghost? Do we have the right mark? Having the right mark is doing the right thing. See? It's doing the right work. He said, I can just make up my mind, will never do it. Oh, my brother, sister, do you realize that this may be the last opportunity you have to become that? Now, I got the Holy Ghost, so sure he's not talking to me. But you need to know that, to know that, to know that, to know that you got the Holy Ghost tonight. See? Not that I think so or I'm waiting to get it. No. Either you do or you don't. If you have any doubt, I don't care how small it is, I will deal with it right away. I will not live here today not knowing that I have the Holy Ghost or not. Because it is going to be that mark or the other mark. But I come to church, boy, that was it. And what I give my tithing, well, I mean, I'm there all the time. I do this, I do that. But if that was the case, everybody could belong. See? Oh, my brother and sister, do you realize that this may be the last opportunity you ever had to become that? It may be the last night you ever have to opportunity to come to Christ, a Christian believer. Now, how many times, I don't know who has and who don't, how many times you want to come to church thinking that, you know, one of these days, you know, it will be an opportunity that I'm going to go to this special meeting. I'm gonna go. How do you know that's going to happen? This may be the last night that you ever have the opportunity to become a Christian believer. It may be from tonight on that you turn down the message of God for the last time. Then you will be in the sight of God, marked as what? Because we know we need to get the Holy Ghost, right? So if we continue bucking and rejecting it, then what's going to happen? Now, again, God is not mad at you. God is not mad at anybody. I mean, God wants you to be saved. God wants you to have the Holy Ghost. This is not that I'm, you know, if you don't do it, I'm going to, you know. No. This is what God wants for you. Because he don't want you to go through the things the other people that are marked is going to. And I'm going to close pretty soon. I'm not going to make any invitation. You know who you are. And you know what you need. And you know if you do or you don't have it. The thing is that, do we have another opportunity? Amen. You guys are quiet. I know this is going to happen. Huh? The time is late. So we are going to wait for what? To decide to get the Holy Spirit. Huh? And I'm not talking about the young people only. You have to know that you know that you know that you know. If you're in that category, that's fine. I'm not talking to you. But if you have any doubt that you don't, you know, God is giving you a chance. Amen. I'm going to close it here because I'm keep putting it. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you, first of all, for allowing us to be here tonight. Father, we know that there's all kind of people in this world right tonight that they are not in church and they're in different places. And some are in church too. But Father, I wish that they will understand and they can hear what you had to say, Father, about the love that you have for them and what you want them to do, because you don't want nobody to be lost, Father. That's not your idea. That was the idea of Satan. You want everybody to be safe and come to the understanding of salvation, Father. And you're giving people opportunities to do that. And some will might be safe throughout the tribulation, but that's a second plan. I don't want to even chance it to have plan B. I know. I want plan A. I don't want to have to be guessing. Father, we thank you. I know this is very rough. The way, I'm not a preacher and it's kind of rough all the way through and it's hard and I got spirits fighting and fighting because once we bring this subject, Satan gets out. And gets worried, because he don't want to lose his. We are not belong to him anyway. We belong to you, Lord. So tonight, Father, if there's anybody here, I don't know. You know every heart in this place, Father. And I said I was not going to do like make an invitation. You know, this is not fear tactics, so people can run to the altar, Father. This is the reality. And it is reality because you love us, Father. Because you love people. You love Cain. You wanted to give him an opportunity to repent and said, I believe you, Lord. Sorry. My mistake. I didn't know. But if you want me to do that, I want to get in there and I will do anything. But his pride got in the way, Father. But you wouldn't accept him just as well. Father, tonight we have an opportunity here, and I pray that everybody that is in this building have the Holy Ghost, Father. I didn't bring this thinking that somebody maybe wanted, no. I like to believe that we all are filled with your spirit tonight, Father. Because one of these days, Father, that is the mark, the seal. If not, it will be another one, Father. Father, we thank you tonight for allowing us to stand in this pulpit, Father. Go through the scriptures, or go through the message of the hour, Father. And identifying, Father, what is true, what is right, what is perfect, Father. And I know it's rough the way I bought it, but Father, you put it in my heart. It is you that want me to bring this, Father. So I have done my part. Now I pray, Father, that there is anybody here in this place that is still do not know, Father, doubting that they do have the Holy Spirit, Father. I just pray, Father, that they don't leave tonight without making a decision for you, Father. Father, it is time is late, and we don't want no one to be lost, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you for your loving kindness and you mercy and grace. Father, you love divine, Father, because even though, Father, some people cannot respond to you, you're still a just God, and you want to give them an opportunity, Father, because you love their soul, Father. Father, without much more to say, it is hard for me because if I close and that's it, this is not another night. This is not another Wednesday. I don't care who it is, Sophia. This is another opportunity to do what's right. It's what it is. We are here. And God has given us another opportunity, Father, to hear His word and not reject it, but accept it, Father. We thank you for your love and your kindness. And I ask you, Father, tonight, that if there's any heart that is still longing for you, longing for that, you go to the heart and touch them, Father. How many in here still do not know or still guessing that you have the Holy Ghost? Now, everybody, eyes closed. Everybody, don't looking around. Just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. If you still doubting and you don't know, raise your hands. Okay, you can put your hands down. This is a very serious thing. I mean, even if it's just one person, two or three, I mean, it doesn't matter. The number don't matter. It's a soul that we're looking at. I want you guys to pray. Continue praying. If you do have the Holy Ghost, you pray. You pray. Since you lift your hand, would you stand, those person that lift your hands, please? Don't be ashamed. This is not a shaming thing. This is really serious. You guys that lift your hands, come stand up a minute. Nobody's looking around, just stand. And see, you are being so brave and you had go that far. Why don't you come here in front of the pulpit and let me pray for you? Nobody's looking. You keep your eyes closed. This is between God and these people. You just be reverent, please. This is a moment that is could decide life from death. This is how important this is. Andy, where are you, Andy? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Father, for this, for tonight. I know it was rough, but I thank you because I believe that this is what you wanted me to do, and I have just done it. I just pray now, Father, that you take care of the rest. I know what I know and could do, but I'm glad that it rests on you, Father. You are the one. You are the one in control of all things, Father. Now, Father, we are going to dismiss pretty soon, Father. And we ask you to be with every soul that is in this building, Father, and that they find, Father, favor. Those that are looking for you, favor, Father, of this Holy Ghost, and those that have it, Father, we still trying to get the word of life in our hearts, Father, so that we can produce that word, your life. Reproducing your life is what we want, Father.
And we thank you, Father, because you make a way to do all these things. Father, we love you and we thank you and we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.